So I'm Mad of London, and I think I first started doing music when I was just living on an estate in Southeast London, and I think I just really wanted to fit in. I always had a knack for like poems and stuff, and I really liked listening to a lot of rap musicians growing up, like Lauryn Hill, and yeah, so I just started rapping. On the estate with a bunch of guys and girls, and someone that I used to rap with actually went on to be quite famous. So it's quite a thriving little community that
Well,
we
look,
had
I can remember
of
sort of
just hanging around after
1990s.
school doing rap.
If you go back to like 90s, actually noughties, there was a sort of, I mean, there was some really good, very political, edgy rap, and it all sort of seemed to get kind of that start getting pushed out, and there was a kind of almost like establishment version of rap then start get became circulated on the radio, etc. So can you just take us through some of the influences on you, people you'd recommend as real rappers?
Yeah, I don't know. I got brought up listening to grime. So when grime was, I suppose, making it big, like More Fire Crew and Pay As You Go Crew and Miss Dynamite, I know she was more garage, but I was kind of growing up listening to that. I didn't necessarily grow up listening to some edgy political rap other than Lauryn Hill. I just listened to a lot of mainstream stuff, to be fair. I was from Essex. You know, I was just on the council estate. I wasn't that politically enlightened at the time. I feel like politics happens to you when you're living on a council estate rather than you happen to politics. It was only later, much later on in life, I became politically aware. So at the time, yeah, I wasn't
Well, look,
politically
okay,
aware
but
at
I mean,
all.
how is it you get
But
from
yeah, I suppose.
listening? How do you get from listening to stuff to actually thinking, well, actually, I can make a go of this and start producing something yourself? Because that's a bit of a leap, isn't it?
Yeah, that was a very long road. So at about 14, 15, I was homeless. And then I had a lot of struggle. I had a big gap in music. I didn't take it seriously at all. I just liked to kind of rap every now and then, just make up little songs to myself. And then I went to uni. I managed to get to uni, as I mentioned to you earlier, by doing an access course. And I just randomly chose to do a philosophy degree. I thought, why not? This is like the farthest thing from my life. And what I'm actually able to do, I was rubbish at English. I couldn't really read very well. I could read, but I wasn't well read, I suppose. And yeah, so I did philosophy, and then it was like loads of posh boys, and one of them gave me a guitar, and then I started rapping to guitar. And then someone was like, oh, that's punk. And I was like, what is punk? I didn't even know what punk was. This is me at like 23. I had no idea, but apparently I was punk. So I then was like kind of becoming politically more educated, like around like these guys that I used to hang around with, go to spoons with, and they would talk about politics. And I'd be like, well, what's left and what's right? Other than what's on your hands? And yeah, so the boys after school educated me because it was philosophy. It was mostly boys, like white boys, which was complete contrast to living in Plumstead. You know, I grew up in a predominantly black area, I suppose, black and Asian. So like those things fused together, and with like my life, you know, just as a eldest girl of six, my mum bringing us up on benefits and stuff. I suppose that concoction kind of gave birth to me.
And
Hello.
what about your how you actually put these songs together? You obviously start scribbling away. There may be backing tracks and things that you can use to rap over to, and you use guitar as well. How do you actually produce it?
I never really used anyone else's backing tracks. I would just sit there with the guitar, and yeah, I would just start. I would kind of maybe think of an idea and think of a riff in my head. And with punk, it's just like very basic. You kind of, you know, and grime, they're both off key as well. Like my music knowledge wasn't very good. And yeah, I would just start writing, then try and do it to the guitar. I think you get a bit of inspiration, don't you, about things in your life that you're thinking about, and then maybe you just think of a little hook, and then off you go, really. I don't
Well,
really
I mean,
have
I know
a
when I've done
method to the
articles,
madness.
I had a column in the past. You start off with just one idea, which is a sort of almost like a seed, and off it goes. It almost like sometimes writes itself. Do you feel like there is something a bit like that where you know it's almost like you're trying to express something and it kind of comes through you somehow.
I do. I feel like it is a bit of divine inspiration. It's just, it comes out of nowhere. You could just be like in the shop, on the toilet, and you're like, oh, I think I wrote a whole song in my head the other day and I just didn't manage to write it down. But as I was just walking and I was thinking about something, I think a lot of artists, maybe they're very introspective and a little bit detached sometimes as well. But you get this urge, you can't, it's like an urge to write a song. And then, you kind of, you think of some kind of maybe techniques along the way, in your songwriting to try and employ. To kind of make yourself a bit more versatile. But yeah,
Like,
that's
look,
it. I did start learning to make beats as well. Someone was trying to like get me to come and work with a producer, and that's when I first learned about, the process of making beats. And I decided that, it was quite expensive, and I didn't really want to be shaped by other people's ideas. Even though sometimes that is good, I kind of wanted to be the leader in my own band of things. And yeah, I started learning to make beats on GarageBand at first. Somebody showed me, my mate Sean, who's actually turned into a Zionist. So yeah, weirdly, because he was very much in like kind of left, maybe even middle left. But yeah, I started making beats and then putting out demos. And alongside, whilst I was doing that, I ended up meeting a few people and forming a band called Bang Bang Bunny.
Right, so can you just tell us a bit about the Madder London and also Bang Bang Bunny? What's the difference between these two things you do?
So Madder London's my solo project, and it's more kind of based around electronic music. Whether it's kind of grime or whatever concoction I come up with when I'm just messing about on Logic. I'm not like formally educated in music production or anything like that, and I'm very stubborn. Like I won't just, I find it hard to sit and listen to like YouTube videos. It's just me going the long way about things, going, what does this button do? Oh, I like this sound of that. And then yeah, I'll just do that and then write a song to it, write some lyrics to it. I can't think which way round I do things. I don't think I've got a set formula, whatever. But yeah, so that's a more electronic project. And then because I kept getting people telling me, oh, I'm punk, I just thought I'll try that route and go with live instruments. And I was at a festival, I think it was Equinox Festival, and I was there teaching music production actually with a project I was doing, because I realized that only 2% of females are music, 2% of music producers are female. So I tried to start a little project with my little distracted mind, and I ended up, getting a gig at Equinox, not doing very much, but I met somebody there called Tom, and we were both around this fireplace. And the night before, I was at something called Larry's Lounge, where it's like a live jam session. And I tried to kind of have a little sing along, and this girl was really mean to me. She was like, you can't sing. And I was like, I don't sing, I do punk. And I was a bit down about that. So I ended up meeting Tom, talking about it. And then we ended up having a little jam on fire. He was just getting over some really hard stuff himself. And then, yeah, he started coming to my house and we started like working on ideas, music ideas. And then, it just, I found a drummer and a bass player. And then we went from there and, formed Bang Bang Bunny, which he hated the name. But I was like, yeah, but it makes people laugh.
Your music is quite, I mean, every time you listen, you hear a bit more of the lyrics and you figure, ah, right, that's what it is. It's not totally like obvious in your face. It's quite, sort of subtle, really. But I know one thing you do talk about in the song, which is called Shutdown, is 9/11. Now, a lot of people might say, well, what on earth has 9/11 got to do with this whole Palestine business, which you're singing about?
I suppose it's this idea because it says, oh, it started on 10/7/9/11 doing this problem solution thing since way back when, no WMDs, just pure freebies. So it's just this idea of contriving a war to go and occupy the land, strip the land of all its versatility, minerals, commodities, and bring it back to, the UK or America to make wealth from it. So I think that Donald Trump the other day was like, we're just going to have Palestine. We're just gonna take it. We're just gonna have it. We're not gonna buy it. There's not gonna be anything formal. We're just gonna have it. And I was just like, wow, like the nerve of it is just, I can't imagine like that happening to the UK. We're just gonna have this now, so I think,
Maybe they've already got
the
it.
history of that's basically what seems to be happening, doesn't it? Like America funding, the Zionists to go and kill Palestinians and whatever's left over they take for themselves. And it's just become more and more encroaching over the last 75 years. And they've just become more and more bold in their sentiments of saying, we're just. We need to get rid of Palestinians, basically. And it just sounds more and more horrific. Obviously it dips in and out of the news, but it does seem quite like whether it's contrived or not, the problems of like, the Twin Towers or 10/7, it's a big fat excuse and justification for them to go and carry out their goals, which is to take over Palestine and the rest of the Middle East, rather than say, hold on a minute, maybe we shouldn't be here, or maybe we should stop
Well,
attacking, or
obviously. I mean,
it's just like, no, that's it.
there's been so many people killed. It's unbelievable they're carrying on, but they've obviously got some sort of a mission. Now, if you go back to the 1960s and 70s, there was a very strong musical protest movement. In fact, it was, many of the songs in the charts at the time were very articulate songs about, what the hell are we doing in the Vietnam War, etc. Nowadays, the music seems very much more subdued and controlled. I just wonder what you make of the scene and if you think there are any good sort of shining lights out there that people should be made aware of, because it seems to be mostly this anti-war stuff is being suppressed.
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? Because people aren't a religious or a political or, in the music industry, people have their ideas and agendas, and there are certain people in power that do sway, and they're not Palestinians, are they? They're not Palestinians who are, controlling what is in like the mainstream music. And I don't have any kind of first-hand experience because I don't have a manager or a record label, but I've seen kind of people speak about some Zionists, but not all, not obviously all, but there are some Zionists in the music industry that may block opportunities to put out pro-Palestinian music. I don't think that's out of the question to suggest. I'm not. There are also like Jews in the music industry that might be against the Zionist thing and might be happy to put pro-Palestinian stuff forward. I don't know. I don't have like a database on it, but I know that could be a factor in what's going on. And obviously we've got ties with, the UK have got ties with Israel and what they're doing, like very strong ties. Like we gave them that land after we kind of apparently tricked the Palestinians into it, saying, oh yeah, this is going to be your land if you fight off this opposition for us. So they've got it's like a Zionist agenda. It doesn't mean it's a Jewish agenda necessarily, to take over that part. land. So yeah, so obviously when you're trying to put this music out, they're going to be like, you can't show that. That's not with our agenda, you know. So yeah.
You doing a philosophy degree or course? What did you do?
Yeah, I did philosophy, like Western philosophy. So it's a lot about logic. So so with this song, with Pal Faction, I feel like because I have had philosophical training, I'm quite good at being a smart ass about things and wording things in a certain way just to push the boundaries, but maybe not be held completely up against the firing wall. So I called it Pal Faction. I do know that with this new piece, I don't know, is it a piece of legislation that they're bringing out? They're even saying, even if you allude to supporting power action, which is a bit of a vague piece, really, because that's the bit that's up for debate, isn't it?
But, well, I mean, I think what they've done, they've deliberately confused things. So, for example, in the court, the judge, when he ruled, whenever it was last month, about banning Palestine action, he said, well, that doesn't mean to say that you can't advocate for Palestine action to be unbanned. Yes, you can, you know, and that's, he said, that's an important distinction to make. So you know, what they've done is they've created,
oh, I didn't know about that.
They've created a complete nightmare for themselves. Not only that, the Chief Constable of Metropolitan Police, Mark Rowley, and Yvette Cooper have both lied about what Palestine Action have done. So this has nobbled various court cases. Somebody I've been following, who's a Palestine Action supporter, who's been going to court, his court case has already dragged on for nearly 2 years. It now looks as if it's going to take 3.5 years because of the Met Chief Constable and Yvette Cooper both prejudicing his case. So the jury have been hearing things from these politicians, and the judges said, well, that's going to prejudice the case, so we're going to have to delay the case. You know, so this is causing all sorts of mess.
Yeah, I have a close friend who's pregnant as well, who has been involved with Power Action, and her court thing has just been dragging out. But I think it's like 2 years now. And in the meantime, she's gone and had a baby, and it's crazy. And all this legislation has changed everything. But yeah, obviously they make it vague and ambiguous. I thought they were maybe making it vague to make it broader, like so they could catch, the catchment net could be more broader to kind of scare more people and potentially put more people in prison for even being just kind of affiliated. So I thought that they might be doing that.
Craig Murray this week has been leaked a report all about the lies that Yvette Cooper has been. We can say that because she can't sue us, because it's quite clear she has been lying from the report. So this is an internal government report which says that the Palestine Action are this and that and everything else, but they're certainly not. the things that she has been saying and Mark Rowley's been saying are not in this report. So the report really is saying, well, Palestine Action is actually a non-violent protest action group, not a violent group. And so this is, I mean, Craig is doing, I think, an amazing job, really, in exposing just what this is, a government that is possibly one of the worst that they've ever had in this country, which is simply lying.
It's difficult because sometimes, I mean, like, even if they were a violent action group, like, I'm not sure I'm completely like, oh my God, they're violent. Like, how violent is the state? Like, you can't always be non-violent towards a violent state. And, you know, I just like, yeah, this idea that, you know, we have to always practice non-violence, I don't think it's always achievable. If you want to go up against a state that's killing like how many thousands of people, and you know, they're cross borders, and you can't even speak out, maybe just like coming together and plonking yourself somewhere isn't enough. Is it really going to stop people from being killed? Is it like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, so they're doing more than
on
that.
Eggshells. I feel like we're so just, far
to
back
be fair,
in the
least, to be fair to Palestine Action, they're doing a lot more than that. They've actually closed down a lot of these factories in the UK. They've done what they reckon is hundreds of millions of pounds worth of damage to the arms
Yeah,
industry, what they've
I
got here
know,
in
I know.
Britain.
I'm just saying that.
That you don't need to like attack people in order to shut these factories down. I suppose that's their point, and I think they're quite clear about that. And even the government's internal report is clear. Anyway, do you want to just sum up and say what you think music and the movement can do in the future to stop governments being complicit in genocide? Because it's getting pretty horrific, and it doesn't seem to be stopping anytime soon.
Yeah, I think you're right, like with what Power Action are doing. I think it's really great what they're doing, the shutting down the factories that create the parts for weapons. And I think that definitely needs to continue. I think people need to just carry on turning up in numbers and know that, the more people that turn up, the less likely they are going to be able to enforce this law or whatever it is coming out against Power Action. And yeah, just obviously keep speaking up and yeah, just keep turning up.
So,
Keep turning
what
up,
about
don't let it
you?
rest.
What about you? Are you going to start? Do you support Corbyn Galloway or anyone like that? Or are you going to start your own political party?
No, I'm not gonna start. Do you want me to? I do. I've signed up to the Corbyn's new group because I do think he is. If we're going to be in this race, he's probably the best horse for stopping the war or the genocide in Palestine. Yeah, me myself, I'm a single mum. I've got two kids. I wrote this song because I felt like that was the best I could do with what, the cards I've been dealt with without myself facing a jail term and maybe my kids being compromised in the situation. So yeah, I'm not going to be starting my own political party, though, bless y'all.
No, but are you sure? Look, so what have you got to say to people who do vote, and because a lot of us don't, but who do vote, and they're thinking, God Almighty, who can I vote for? Because it's a little bit of a conundrum, isn't it?
I haven't voted in a while. Because, yeah, there's not been a candidate that I've wanted to vote for. I mean, Keir Starmer's turned out to be really not great. I think it's difficult because people pin all their hopes on what I would say is one puppet. And politics is very complex and it's wrapped up with economics. I think put the power back within, the communities and each other. Make conscious decisions about where you're putting your money, like put your money where your mouth is, because economics has a huge sway and impact on political decisions. And I think that's where you can best cast your vote in what you buy, perhaps. And yeah, I don't know really what else to say on that.
Well, look, no, I mean, that's perfectly fair. The other thing is you can do that all the time. You don't just get to do it once every 4 years. Anyway, whereabouts can people find and follow you, Madda?
My new track, Power Faction, is only on YouTube at the moment because I kind of stole Skepta's beat and he wasn't getting back to me. And this track was a really good track, and I didn't have time to create a whole new beat. So that's only on YouTube. So it's Madda London, MADALDN, Power Faction, or I'm on Spotify. As well, and also under my band Bang Bang Bunny for the more kind of heavier punk metal. We've even got like a punk dancehall track about environmental issues called Fish. So that's where we are.
Okay, and what about any gigs coming up?
Yeah, I have a gig coming up on the 30th in Gravesend. It's a Kent G Town festival supporting Wiley and Scorcher, but they've actually said to me that I can't play the Power Faction track because of the politics of the council. So yeah, that one's out of my hands.
So, Madda London, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Tony. Bye.